Happy Resurrection Sunday. Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Greeting you from, got a new place. it's been an ordeal. We definitely are a mobile people. I've learned that in these days. Oh gosh. But yes, greeting you from a new spot, new place, a little bit more space. Great, fantastic. I've been setting this place up for a little while. Finally got most of the things put away. Gosh, moving is a headache. There's something nice about being light and not having too much stuff because you can move really quick. But if you've been in a place for a little while, we have a tendency to accumulate, I think. And I don't want to have to move too much, but hey, it can be a blessing if you just have to leave it all and go. But oh gosh, thank God for this new spot. And I think things are going to work out pretty good here for so many things to come. And but God is, I felt this. This is a great, wonderful, fantastic day just to kick back a little bit and say hi, because this, I think above all days, we remember just the finished work of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the full establishing, Him being the firstborn from the dead, the full establishing of the rule and reign, the dominion of God, the dominion of Christ Jesus, the kingdom of God. You know, the cool thing, kingdom. There's a king with dominion. And so for us, we are children, we are servants, we are ambassadors within the kingdom of God, under the dominion of the King of Kings. And so it's just fantastic when today. I don't know when this audio is going to actually get posted up, because it takes a little while. You see, we got a bit of a process, because I have to cut it on this side, and then I have to send it across, and because I could not do this site on my own. Trust me, I could not. I have some wonderful support. I have some wonderful help. There's people that pray. Daniel, you are the key man in making this thing go, and there's others that check the stuff and keep us posted on where things are. But gosh, my part is I just try to do the part that I've got in this whole thing. I don't know when this audio is going to get posted up, but today is Resurrection Sunday in Sri Lanka, and being that it's a day that we remember the finished work and the fact that death and sin and the world system had no hold on Jesus, and because He conquered the whole thing, that you and I in Him are given new life. If you're in Him, you're within Him, you're given that new life that He offers. And it's oh gosh, I mean, there's nothing else, you know, that's it. And that new life gives us access to the Father. We get plugged into the Spirit. You're activated and you've been brought alive, and you're part and parcel of God's plan and purpose for you. You're a player in the whole thing now. You're on the field. You're in the game. You're part of this amazing drama that's unfolding in this entire world stage. I mean, there's a lot of props on the stage, but you are actually somebody of life and significance and importance as you're walking with the Father. So yeah, it's just cool. I mean, I would love for every person that I'd ever meet in my entire life, you know, even the ones that are choosing the other way, I would love for all of them to know this and to understand this. But hey, it's between each person and their creator. So yeah, so for those that have a heart for it, praise God, because you're going to find You seek and you will find. You will knock and the door shall be opened. And so I'm excited for those that are on the journey with me. You know, something though too that God's been stirring this one in my heart for a little while, and I felt this is a good time to spend a little bit of time talking about it. Let's just go to the Word. Romans 13. Romans 13. Because, you know, there's a challenge that I think a lot of people have in walking with the Spirit of God, because, again, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And you can't go by outward appearance. You can't go by the way that things look to the natural eye. But I think a lot of times what's happened is we've had people that have been instructors and teachers that they themselves weren't free. And they were trying to talk to others and tell others how to be free. You know, I remember, for example, business college in the university when I was there. And, you know, I started talking to some of these professors and I was like, hey, you know, what did you do before you know were a professor? And I tell you what, not all of them, but a bunch of them their businesses, basically they failed. And because their businesses failed, part of their whole life process was, business didn't work out for me, so I'm gonna go and teach. I'm gonna go get my master's or my doctorate, and then I'm gonna teach. And so a lot of them were in there teaching and trying to teach others, hey, here's how you do business. And that's a really dangerous thing because I think especially along the lines of even spiritual things, I mean, how often have the people that were the instructors and the teachers and the people that claimed positions of spiritual authority, but they themselves were bound, they themselves were given over to all kinds of stuff, and they weren't free. And they were trying to talk to you and tell you how you should be free. And it took me a while to realize, wait a second, I shouldn't be listening to these guys. But I think it's a bit of a challenge because, you know, I've seen even just recently, I met a dear sister in the Lord who's just recently woken up and is walking with Christ now. And boy, I tell you, the hyenas, you know, just come out from the woodworks in the form of the religious system, and they now will try to strap you with all of this bondage and all these kind of things and say, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to come here, you need to come to this meeting, how could you miss Friday, how could you miss Wednesday, how could you miss Sunday, how could you miss... And pretty soon, I mean, so the time that God actually had us cross paths, you know, we were just discussing some stuff, but, you know, she's fine. She knows her Creator, she's walking with Him, and He's leading and guiding her into all truth. What more do you need? You know, it's an individual walk, you know, and if you encounter a brother or a sister in Christ on this way, He will put what you need in front of you. If you still want truth, He'll find a way to get that message and that truth to you. But problem is, most people don't want truth. Most people want a social affiliation. Most people want some club to belong to. Most people are looking for somebody to marry. Most people are looking for a place to make some business contacts. Most people are getting close. most the hearts and the intentions are, you know, most people, they want to sing along. They want to once a week sing along, and it's just a mass karaoke. Whatever it is, there's, you know, people have their reasons. But God knows the heart. He knows where people are at. And if you want freedom, if you want truth, you'll find it. If you're looking for that, if you're seeking the Father, He will make Himself real and He'll make Himself known to you. Okay. but I digress. Thank you, Jesus. 'Cause somebody needed that. But Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, our avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but love one another. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is at high time, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, cool. So God has been speaking to me about this Romans 13 for a while, and okay. Here's the thing with Scripture. People use, just like people pick and choose whatever they want to reference to make their point, people pick and choose what they want, when they want, to get what they want. So, the issue right now, and something that's going to be rising up more and more, because, alright, I go back to this thing. All religions are systems of social control. Religion being, and there's religions that do some good things, but you have to keep in mind what they are. When Jesus came to this world, he didn't set up a religion. John 14 verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So, Jesus is a way. He's not a religion. He never was. So, the problem is that most people, carnal fallen man has a default point to establish and set religions. He keeps going towards that. So, Buddhism did the same thing. Buddhism is a philosophy. It's a philosophy that, and the dude that was doing that, Vedanta, he didn't want a religion as such. It was a philosophy for people. But man, carnal man, can't help himself. He will continually, if there's anything of any semblance of the possibility to control other people, he will take it and create a religion around it. And some people want that and are working towards that. Other people don't want that and are just walking on a particular path, but there's others that will use them for that purpose. It's just there. So it's part of the world system. But anyways, the religion and the system of the religious system of Christianity, not the way which follows Jesus, which is the true church, but the system itself is going to be used for some really horrible things in the days ahead. Now, I want to take this scripture, for example, because I know that this is one that I've heard it. I can't use the word preached because it doesn't count, but I've heard it talked about by people that are in man-made positions of control of their institutions. And what they've said, okay, let's go through this, right? Okay, Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God, the power that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Okay, in fact, I usually have never seen them get past verse 2. And, But sometimes they will get to verse 5, verse 6, you know, where it talks about taxes and things like that. Okay, so, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Now, so does that mean that you do whatever it is that the state or the government commands you to? Question? Because I've heard people tell you, yes, you do. And I would venture, no, you don't. And why would I venture? Okay, here, keep that one in mind. Let's just see what... Look, go back to Daniel chapter 3, shall we? Cool thing about Scripture is Scripture explains itself. And... But the only thing is actually getting to the pages. Okay, we'll get there. Daniel. In the den. Yes, got it. Daniel chapter 3. Okay, Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, keep in mind Romans 13, right? Romans 13. Okay, do what the power says. Okay, Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 3 score. Okay, a little background. Daniel and his three buddies thrown into captivity in Babylon. And this is the situation that they're in. But they've chosen in their hearts to follow God. These are people that are gods. These are lambs. Okay, these are children of God. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 3 score cubits and 3 breadth. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Okay. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." Romans 13, that at what time ye hear, verse 5, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Oh, good little Romans 13 people. Good little church people. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever, which he didn't. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmster, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They don't follow Romans 13. Why? Okay, anyways. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, now, if we stop right there, and you look at the setup, just think about the setup. Everybody else has sold out. Everybody else has bowed down. Everybody else has gone along with whatever. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What is this matter? Well, part of that this matter is it has to do with spiritual allegiance. It has to do with the dominion of God and the kingdom of God and who it is that they serve and who it is that they worship. It has to do with a spiritual allegiance. It has to do with the system of God versus the system of this world and which one they are given over to, which one they have of their free will are part of. Okay, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not, Romans 13, this situation. We will not, Romans 13, this situation. There is a limitation. You have to diminish scriptures into the proper context. You can't just be a mindless robot that just goes along with the institutional 501c3 sellout system, which has shut their mouth on stuff they're supposed to be talking about, which is sellouts, which right now, I tell you what, they're losing their cash. They're losing the things that they gave themselves up for in the first place. Anyways, verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their horses, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those sellouts, anyways. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Yeah, like they're going to say anything else. These sellouts will tell. Oh gosh. These sellouts that surround these leaders that have sold their soul for nothing, they've like they're going to say something in a situation like this. Anyways, yeah, true, O king. Okay, verse 25. He answered and said, lo. See, that's the problem too. If you're one of these rulers, you're surrounded by idiots, by and large. You're surrounded by yes men. You don't have a dissenting voice or a dissenting opinion or a person that can tell you anything that you need to hear in this situation. No wonder these guys are screwing up everything right now. Okay, verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, because he can't go inside, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then, because he's got to ask them now, they're not under his dominion anymore. They never were. But they're not. He can't go where they are. Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was any hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Wow, if that commandment was to bear to this day, there'd be a lot of shit going around. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Verse 30. Okay. Romans 13. How does Romans 13 play into Daniel chapter 3? Okay. Well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but the wheat and the tares grow together. We exist in this dimension simultaneously. We're in the world, but not of it. As for the children of God, you know, we're here. And see, here's something too. You got, bear this in mind. The world and the world system in itself doesn't necessarily want anarchy, because in a state of complete and total anarchy and lawlessness, even though there is a man of lawlessness out there, in a state like that, it's a higher probability and a higher likelihood that people will seek the Lord and will seek the truth and will turn to Him. I mean, not everybody, but there's a bigger chance of that. The world and the world system seeks a mossy path to take people to hell on, or just overt oppression, but it needs some balance there in what it's trying to do. So, but there is a challenge point. There is a place where, see, for us, we exist in this dimension simultaneously. But for us, if you're a child of God, you can, to the extent that, see, all right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, because this image that was set up was actually was made in the image of Daniel. You got to go back to the whole thing of chapter 1 and chapter 2, and actually chapter 2 kind of explains, because Daniel wasn't one of these guys that was targeted, because they actually made it after Daniel, but that's a whole other story. But but when these guys were targeted, there's a point for them. See, they were stuck in Babylon. There were certain things about the circumstance and the situation that they were put in. God allowed it. It's God's design that they were there. And because part of it was they were a witness. They were an ambassador in a difficult situation, in a difficult time. Now, when they were brought in as captives, there was a lot of other Jews that were brought in as captives as well. There was a lot of other ones that were taken they were earmarked for the king's court. But these four guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had made a commitment in themselves that they would remain true to the dominion of the king above and beyond anything that would be offered to them. And Daniel lived through four kings. He outlived four of these guys. In all the topsy-turvy things that would take place in that nation, he outlived four of them. He lived into the reign of the fourth one. So, but they had made a decision. They had made a choice. And see, there's a lot of things where it's like, yeah, it's not an issue. You know, it's not a problem. It's not, we got no issue with a traffic light. Hey, it's good for everybody if people will follow the traffic light. You know, there's times when the ambulance has got to go through. Okay, cool. Everything's cool. But there is a point for us where it's like there is a definite divide. And for us, the key issue, and which is the thing that made these guys freak out so much too in Daniel chapter 3, is our spiritual allegiance. See, for us as followers of Christ on the way with Him, we bow our knee only to the King of Kings. We bow our knee only to the Lord of Lords. So for us, in fact, here, go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "The Lord, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Okay, so Exodus chapter 20, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understand the revealed will of God in this matter. So for themselves, when you get to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16, the second part, they answered, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, chapter 3 of Daniel, answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Yeah, we got this one. This one we understand. This one we know. Now, if they went along with all the other Jews that had come up with them, in chapter 1 of Daniel, if they went along with what it was that the rest of these guys, because hey, they're all following Romans 13, right? They're all following Romans 13. Let's go back to Romans 13. Where is it? Romans 13. Okay. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation." Get with the program, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't you get it? Oh wait, they did. They did get it. That's the point. They did get it. See, you have to see, when Paul was writing Romans 13, he was writing to people that were under the dominion and the lordship and understood the nature of the kingdom of God. That was not, there was no question about spiritual allegiance or alliances. He was touching on periphery matters. But what's happened is, this is, scriptures like that have been taken and been used by the institution, the satanic system, which is there, which has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. They use ones like that for a certain purpose. And a particular purpose is to, when people have that, the still small voice of God quickening them inside their hearts, internally saying, hey, don't go that way. Don't bow. Don't go that way. This is serious. When people have that inside of them, they use that external, and they use that, and then they say, hey, no, it's okay. Come on, just trust the people that are there. Here you go, here's Romans 13, and can't you see my degree on the wall, and I got a robe, and I wear a tie, and I do all my stuff, so can't you tell that now it's okay, so trust me. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. There are enough and more people that have been led astray, that have been compromised, that you're being set up. And if you can't see that, if you can't realize that now, my prayer for you is that you would have what God offered for you, for all of us. I pray everybody would have this, that you would know it for yourself. Because if you don't know this walk and this connection for yourself, as time goes on, you will justify things that God is not turning the other way on. You know, the whole thing about people talking about, oh yeah, bow your knee, not your heart. You know, the whole Elisha and Nahum, they'll use that. They'll use something like that for Revelation 13. There'll come a point where people will talk about the mark of the beast will be sold with Romans 13. Where chapter 13 of Revelation, verse 17, where it says, let's go back to verse 16 of chapter 13 in Revelation, where it says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. There will be people that will believe that they are bowing their knee but not their heart. But in doing so, they're deluding themselves, because they have bowed their knee. They have bowed their heart. And they've used Romans 13 to justify their spiritual allegiance to the world and the world system, the power of Satan and darkness. They've been given over to strong delusion. And the point being, for us, you are under the dominion of the King of Kings. You are under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a servant and an ambassador and a child of God, given of amazing adventure and an amazing assignment at a phenomenal time in the history of mankind. And so right now is a time for you to get on the page with what God is doing. It's a time to sit down, bow your knee before Him and say, Lord, what? Anything. Whatever you say goes. I'll anywhere you want me to go, I'll go. Anything you have for me, I'll do. Die to yourself. Allow that process to take place. The Spirit of God will take you through it. It'll be painful. But at the close of it, you're going to know what life is. Oh gosh, if you knew what was waiting for you on the other side. Like Jesus, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning the shame. He knew He knew what was waiting for him at the other side of that. Massive part of that was eternity with us. And for our redemption, for us to be the bride of Christ, and for that way to be made. So, we have this available now. You can't love your life in this world. You can't hold on to it. There's nothing that you can love more. There's nothing that... Seek the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And out of that love and out of that connection, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That flows. The love of God flows into you from that reciprocation that comes both ways. And then it flows into you and through you, and you're able to love others the same way God loves you. It flows. Life flows through you. God has made it that way. God has designed it that way. Don't give that up. And for what? So anyways, just an encouragement to you this day, because also to, gosh, it's like you just see it. It's like a train wreck waiting to happen. But I mean, just keep, you know, if you ever got a question, all you got to do is just ask the Father and say, Lord, okay, somebody said it like this. Somebody heard this somewhere. And even in my spirit, something just doesn't quite settle right. Would you show me? Would you reveal it to me? Would you teach me? And wait till He shows you. You know, don't go with somebody else. Just ask Him. He can teach you. Because you've got the Spirit of truth living in you that leads and guides you into all truth. Let Him show you. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. He'll make all things clear. Including Romans 13 and your life and your direction and your purpose and your call and what He has for you and what's coming up and how to work with the health thing you got going on, and how to get your body to a place where it's ready to go, because there's a lot coming up and you're going to have to be vigilant and ready. There's so much. Oh gosh, don't you just love the sounds in this place? Ah, greeting you from my new place that God has provided. Thank God. He will take care of everything. You know something, a promise that God made me when I was kind of starting out with stuff. Because I had to learn. And one thing that He told me was, He said, Govinda, He said, I'll give you the need when it's needed. I just didn't put my name, but He just said, I'll give you the need when it's needed. And it's been true throughout. Whenever I've needed it, it's always been there. And the case is the same for all of God's people. Matthew 6 is right there. Same thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the things that you need, they'll be added unto you. God will take care of whatever you need. And you get to travel light that way. You don't have to carry everything with you on your back all the time. God will have it there for you when you're in the mix. But you just have to go. And you have to trust Him. You have to be willing to take that, and the walk of faith, all it is just one step of faith after another. Take one step of faith after another, and pretty soon you're walking. And that's all it is. We just walk out life that way. It's great. Fantastic. Love it. Wouldn't have it any other way. Hey, God bless you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the Father would just bless you, would just keep you, would just flow through your life in every way. In Jesus' name, I just break right now in agreement with the prayers going forward for each person even listening right now. I break every demonic force and every bondage in Jesus' name. And we pray right now, Lord, for the free flow of your life and your peace in the lives of these wonderful, wonderful people. Lord, in Jesus' name, keep them. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Love you. Talk to you sometime soon. Bye.
Yet I was created for a reason. Even though my life has more changes than the seasons. Through hard times, the Lord kept me breathing. Which means, Lord, your love is true and I trust in you. Even if the pain isn't leaving. Through the years of the fears and the tears. I know it's by the grace of God. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here.